It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Good morning, everybody, and happy... I swear I think it's Wednesday. Jeffrey, is it Wednesday? It's been a week, man. And today I'm bound for Seattle, of all things, to see the Memphis Tigers play in the NCAA tournament. We got an incredibly busy show today because we got John Martin, who is headed to Las Vegas, of course. We've got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. We have Sam Hardiman talk about all things City of Memphis. After that, we have the first four to talk about unfolded last night. Alabama State and Tony Madlock, massive win for that program. But also, as it turns out, for the City of Memphis, we had Penny Hardaway talking yesterday. All sorts of things to get to. Before any of that, we have Craig Unger, who is the president of the Memphis Redbirds, joining us. Because in the midst of all of this, Monday, we got the Battle of the Birds as the St. Louis Cardinals are coming to town to take on the Memphis Redbirds at AutoZone Park. Craig, welcome. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
I'm great. It is kind of stunning to me to think that it was 25 years ago than when we did this the first time. It's amazing.
Yeah, I've been here now 12. This is my 12th season. This is my third Battle of the Birds game here. And, you know, you look back at the history of this game, I think this is the seventh or eighth one in the history of AutoZone Park. First, I sort of reflect, and we had this conversation the other day here in the office, is how rare these are. You know, we've been fortunate. The Cardinals ownership group, John Mozeliak, the president of the baseball operations for the Cardinals, have been great partners with the Redbirds from 2000 all the way to today. To be able to continue to bring this game. It's a scheduling challenge for them at times. This is technically a spring training game for the Cardinals. It's on the actual Major League spring training schedule. You know, and then they head to St. Louis and open up just a few days later. So I think it's a testament to them. It's a testament to the relationship that the Cardinals have had with the City of Memphis. You know, even going back to 2013, 2014, when they bought the team at a time that it wasn't really sure if the Redbirds were going to survive, you know, at that point. So that commitment is there. This game is amazing. This is a great thing for baseball fans to come down and see, you know, the Cardinals in this great ballpark. You know, that you got what? There's 20 something rows in the lower deck. You've got the best seats in the house, no matter where you sit here, and prices are affordable. Your tickets are right now currently starting at $20.25. You can get in the ballpark and you can see the St. Louis Cardinals play here on Monday.
It is interesting you say. So it used to be fairly common that, in fact, the first time I ever set foot in Memphis was for an exhibition. It wasn't, it was at Tim McCarver. It did not involve the Redbirds. And of course, this was an exhibition that was canceled because there were ruts in the outfield. And it was a sort of a famously whatever that people were throwing beers by the end, because the thing was canceled. But it used to be fairly common to do that. Now these stop over at a city on the way to your major league opener have become pretty rare.
Yeah, we are one of two happening this year.
Oh, my God.
And that's pretty normal. I didn't even really know about the other one. It's the Reds are playing in Dayton. That is the only other one. And most of the time, we're one of the only few. There's a few times where, I know that a couple major league teams have, left Arizona to go play in Las Vegas for a couple of days during spring training. But that's more of a sort of a special event type of thing versus, these type of affiliate events here. But yeah, they're very rare. And again, I think that's a testament to the commitment to Memphis from the Cardinals and, knowing how important this is and, being able to, bring the team down here. And what's great about it too, is for a lot of guys, they've obviously played here. And, when you look at the current, what is the projected to be the current Cardinals roster, you got a lot of guys that have spent some time through here, although, this will be Nolan Arenado's first trip to Memphis, so we're excited to see him. He's, after all the trade speculation and rumors, he's still with the Cardinals and will be playing third base on Monday. So you see superstars that you haven't maybe had a chance to see yet. But also, I'm really excited, which I think, from all the speculation things I've seen, that Lucan Baker, who is the all-time home run leader for the Redbirds and has been with us for the past couple of years, likely to make the big league roster. So, that's, I think, great for fans of the Cardinals, of people who've seen him play in the Redbirds, to see that moment where he gets to come out wearing the birds on the bat and is in the other dugout, because that's what they dream about. So, Mason Wynn was here a couple of years ago, and then just one night he's gone and you don't get a chance to see him again. And he's, a top prospect. I mean, he's graduated to the major leagues now, but, considered one of the best young players out there. Everyone had a chance to see him, but now this is sort of your last chance to, get a chance to see him, play here again and reminisce that, hey, I saw him play here for the past couple of years.
It's also a chance of celebration and renewal for that ballpark. Obviously, it was 25 years ago when they first did this, Mark McGwire, all of that, as they took the wraps off that ballpark in a signature day. And we've talked about it extensively, the need to re-embrace that ballpark for the city and the work that needs to be done. It is still, as you point out, you walk in at the corner of 3rd, and it is a miracle of a ballpark. The seats are, seat lines are beautiful. It has needed some upgrades just because it's 25 years old. So how's it looking? What can fans expect on Monday? And then, I guess, separately, what still needs to be done?
Yeah, so one is, you're going to walk in on Monday and you're going to have what I always call that angel singing moment.
Yeah.
That all the Bermuda grass in Memphis is all brown and people's yards are brown and maybe the weeds are starting to pop through and that's the green that you're seeing.
Yeah.
When you come in, the field looks absolutely spectacular. Our grounds crew has done an amazing job over this winter, managing some tough stretches of some really cold temperatures, but you're going to have that angel singing moment where you walk in and go, oh my God, this is amazing. On top of that, we've got all new wall pads all the way around. It may sound like a little thing, but they're consistent. In the past, we have to rewrap some of them every year when they wrapped and some were faded. Now everything looks uniform. It's very clean looking. We have new nets going down the line. So from a fan enjoyment standpoint, safety wise, we have nets going all the way down the lines. And I tell fans, don't fret yet. This is not the end of the world. Major leagues have been doing this for a number of years. This was one enhancement that MLB has been talking to teams about. One is, we deal with this, unfortunately, several times each year where fans are hit by foul balls. And it's not the ones that pop up. You're still going to be able to catch a foul ball as the ball that goes up in the air. What we're protecting you from is that 115 miles an hour off of the bat that you don't have time to react sitting at you know, just beyond third base while you're holding your beer and eating some popcorn, or, you know, some popcorn or peanuts.
Barbecue nuts.
You know, we've also, you know, put some what we call windows along the way on that netting where we can zip up or unzip pregame, where fans still have the chance to get autographs and they can, you know, still do that interaction. So we're very intentional with thinking about the fan experience inside there. We've done some cosmetic upgrades around the concourse on some things there. We have a new concessionaire that's in here this year. The Oakview Group has moved in. So we're excited about having a new concessions partner with some upgraded concessions and some changes, you know, within there. A lot of the work that was done, we have new lights. Forget about the lights. We have LED lights. That was part of sort of the upgrades that were needed from a Major League Baseball standpoint. That's what we did mostly this year, is we had to get compliant with Major League Baseball standards. There was a deadline of opening day this year to meet specific standards for the facilities to meet the standards that Major League Baseball has set forward for player development reasons to have done. Where we are headed from an overall, that, you know, there's a lot of other improvements that are still needed. And, you know, part of the city's investment in getting us compliant this year was about $5 million. And part of the money there is hiring an architect and hiring a contractor to help with us of looking at and studying all of the other things that need to be done here. We know what they are. Now it's sort of like putting a price to it, going through and sort of reimagining the ballpark in areas that we want to maybe add a new club space or add a new group space or change some amenities, reimagining the entry experience. How do we want to redesign concessions to make the concessions experience better? Renovating bathrooms. This is what I hear about every single day, you know, renovating bathrooms. So those are all part of the master plan that we are studying right now. You know, we have calls and meetings with the city and their representatives twice a week, you know, in terms of talking about the ideas. We're beginning to really dig into some of the ideation now, where it's like, we like this, we need to rethink this, and here's how we want to reimagine how people come in, how they have an experience here. But our seats, like all of the seats in the building, they're original. They're 25 years old, 26 years old. You know, they're faded, they're cracked in places, the drink holders don't work. So, you know, where we're at is like remodeling your house. You gotta, you know, you gotta improve, you gotta change up your furniture every once in a while. You know, we need new furniture. We need to remodel our bathrooms. We need to remodel our kitchen. The whole building needs to be painted. So that's what we're sort of looking at now with the city, is studying that stuff. I would say I'm hoping in the next few months, by mid-year, we're going to have a plan together that we can come out with and share with everybody. This is the things that we'd like to see done. And some of them are sexy, right? It's the seats, it's new party areas, it's new clubs. It's, you know, reimagining concessions and bathrooms. And then some of them are like things that people don't see. Like, we need new air handlers, right? We need new air conditioning things. Right? It's stuff that people aren't going to know that happens, but that's a large portion of the things that we need of that, you know, to be able to make sure the air conditioning works in July, to make sure the fire systems actually protect everybody. You know, so those are the things that we are working on, talking to the city about. Again, hope to have a plan by next couple months, mid-year or so, come out with that plan. And then the hard work really becomes is, how do we pay for it, and how do we bring it to fruition? Because without these upgrades and changes, we have a contract with Major League Baseball and the St. Louis Cardinals through 2030. It's going to be critical for 2030 and beyond. We get 10-year contracts. Our first 10-year contract expires in 2030. To get that next contract, these changes and these updates are going to have to happen.
Well, it's still one. I there was a time, if anyone came to Memphis, one of the places that I would always take them is AutoZone Park, because it just gleamed. And it was, you know, you walked in the front door, and as you point out, the angel singing moment, you look out on that beautiful ballpark, and it deserves to be cared for, because it is still a jewel. And I would urge people, if they want to see Major League Baseball players right there in Memphis on Monday, you can still get tickets by going to the Redbirds website. By the way, I take it you have the full range of fireworks and other festivities planned for this coming season to bring people back downtown?
Yep, shortly after the our focus is on the exhibition game, and just after the exhibition game, we'll be launching our some of our promo schedules and stuff. But yes, we will have fireworks on all of our Saturday nights during throughout the summer. We've got a bunch of other sort of fun promotions and some new ideas that will be coming out very soon. It's also important to note with that as our season starts a week later on April 1st. And anyone who comes to the exhibition game, if you buy a ticket to the exhibition game, we're giving you a ticket to opening day to come back on April 1st. So it's a little bit of a two-for-one, and you get to see both opening days. It's been a little confusing of, like, we have the opening day against the Cardinals, and then a week later we're going to open again and have, like, real opening day. But, yeah, we're going to have the full array of all those fun things, all this stuff, Sunday brunches. We're at home on Easter Sunday, which has always been a pretty popular day here, surprisingly, is that people, go to church, and we have a nice Easter brunch in the morning, and then we do an Easter egg hunt for the kids on the field after the game. And then additionally, I would expect, in the next few weeks too, that once we get past the exhibition game, we're really focused as well, even on the changes to the ballpark and the upgrades to it, is, to what you said, is that this is a community asset and bringing people down, not just for baseball games, but for a lot of other things. And, we've got, we're going to be making some announcements on some other things, of some free events. We've already announced a fan fest on the Saturday on March 29th, where fans can come down in the afternoon, watch the Cardinal game on the big screen, but they'll be able to go out, bring a blanket, go sit in the outfield. We'll have free inflatables for kids to play on, kind of an open house here, and get a chance to sort of see the ballpark and walk around and talk to people, but just things that we can get people downtown. I think that's, for us, we see ourselves as baseball first, but we see the building as an opportunity to draw people downtown 365 days a year. And that's even, we're doing that now with some events that we're going to be announcing. But also, when we think about the renovations and the changes to the ballpark, is how do we make this a destination every single day, and continue to, rejuvenate downtown and make sure that people feel invited to come back down and that there's reasons for them to come down here.
Thanks, Craig. Appreciate it. Best of luck.
Yep. Thank you.
Craig Unger. Bye-bye. From the Memphis Redbirds. Cardinals in town on Monday. Battle of Birds. You can still get tickets for that, starting at $20. So
I was at the first one.
You were at the first one.
Yeah, my buddy Kevin and his parents took me.
When they sold tickets for that. It's the one time I felt most threatened as a sports columnist, when they sold tickets for that. There was a massive line to buy tickets, and it seemed like a bunch of the people in the line were not typical ticket goers. And so I sort of asked some questions, and I said, what are you going to? And it turns out they were a ticket broker. This is in the old days, had gone and hired folks from the Memphis Mission to go stand in line. So there were 200 unhoused people at the front of the line, homeless folks at the front of the line. That's who was at the front of the line. And, which is like, whatever, if you want to pay someone to stand in line for you and get you whatever, that's, you can do that. But they had misrepresented to the folks from the, as a Memphis City Mission or who, what they wanted them for, why they were hiring these folks. And so I mentioned that. I just mentioned in the column that I thought it was kind of scummy, honestly, for them to, because there were a lot of, baseball fans who were there, and who couldn't get tickets, and because these people were going to be selling them at jacked up prices. So I mentioned that in my column, unfavorably. And I put in the name of the ticket guy. This is the same year as the Tyson fight. I was at the Tyson fight. And I'm sitting there on my laptop, and all of a sudden, someone drops this laminated thing on my laptop over my shoulder. I mean, what's happening? I pick up the laminated thing. It's a gun permit. And on the back of the gun permit, laminated, is my photo. My photo was stuck on the back of the gun. Like, basically, the guy was saying, I did not report this to the police. I probably should have. Don't you think that's a threat? Don't you think that constitutes a threat?
I mean, it's definitely
my photo on the back of his gun permit.
But it's also, that was like an era in which we didn't really take a lot of
Nah, I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Well, get out of my face. You know, whatever. But that's how big that event was. And kind of amazing to think that only two major league teams are doing this, and one is the Redbirds, and they'll be right here the Cardinals will be right here in Memphis. All right, we got a million other things to talk about, including last night. We had Alabama State, Tony Madlock, leading his Alabama State team to a stunning, stunning victory with a last-second Hail Mary of a shot, 0.7 seconds, technically, get the win. Amar Knox from Bartlett puts the bucket in, gets the bucket, 70-68. And it became a Memphis party because here's what happened. You got the head coach from Memphis. You got the guy hitting the winning bucket from Memphis. And so John Rothstein is doing the walk-off interview with Tony Madlock and Amar Knox. And, well, here's how that sounded.
Let's check in with John, standing by with the winners. Tony, Amar, congratulations. Have you ever been involved in a play like that in all your years of basketball?
I don't think so, but I know one thing. I told you, all of our games end just like this. We either got to get a stop or we got to get a bucket.
How did your tempo change the game in the second half?
Well, we talked about it. Remember, we said we had to turn the pressure up, so we was able to do that.
Why do things change for your team when this guy steps up, not just on the last play, but throughout the game?
Well, the thing about it is, he's a first-team all-swag guy. He didn't have a great tournament, so we knew he had to come out and get it going tonight, and he did.
All right, congratulations, Amar. Come on in right now.
Memphis, stand up, baby.
You got it, Amar. Come on in here right now. How has this team won 7 games in a row?
Man, these guys are amazing. Each and every day they come in and work. No matter if we up or down, they find a way to help us win this game. And it's a full team effort.
Auburn is next. Your thought process?
Our process is just, you know, get ready for scouting report, get ready to play hard, and we just go play hard. And whenever outcome comes, we're going for trying to get the win.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So there you go. Tony Madlock from Memphis, Amar Knox from Memphis, featured prominently last night. My favorite part was they were done with the interview. Like he was, John Rothstein was done with Tony Madlock. And so what did Tony Madlock do? He interjected, "Memphis, stand up, baby." And then, by the way, this continued, Jeffrey, into the postgame. In the postgame, we had a lot of, from Tony Madlock. Oh, this was TJ Madlock, I'm sorry. A lot of Memphis up here at this table. It's the best city in the world, so it feels good to represent. From Amar Knox, "I feel like Memphis is the best city in the world. We have to show out and represent our city the best way we can." Jeffrey, believe it or not, Memphis is the best city in the world.
It's my favorite city.
Best is a subjective, yeah. Jeffrey. Best is subjective. But it was kind of funny. I mean, this is Alabama State. This is not Alabama State, I don't believe, is even in Tennessee.
Right, but I also don't rule out maybe recruiting some guys from Memphis.
That was great. It was just great. Memphis, stand up, baby. So there we had that last night. So that was a lot of fun. The other game, by the way, UNC just absolutely demolished San Diego State, 95-6. Did you wager on that one?
I did. I had Carolina on this one. I had Alabama State last night, and they won but didn't cover.
Didn't cover. Well, it was interesting, the UNC game, because now people are like, yeah, you know, this proves they belong. And, of course, that's a silly argument. It's like, I think most of the people who would have told you that they didn't belong or shouldn't have gotten the bid, it's not that they didn't belong, it's that they shouldn't have gotten the bid over some other teams, would also have told you they were going to win last night, right? Those things are not, in fact, inconsistent with each other.
I legitimately bet them because everyone's like, this team shouldn't be in here, whatnot.
You now, think the motivation, the fired upness of it was part of it?
I definitely think they had a different edge.
Obviously,
I have a brand here. Fade the Mountain West.
Well, there is fade the... Well, and so to that point, you're looking at, man, UNC just took apart San Diego State, rolled. And then you say, well, San Diego State's in the Mountain West. Colorado State, also in the Mountain West.
Mm-hmm.
Memphis playing Colorado State. Let's check and see what happened when Colorado State and San Diego State met earlier to see what quality we're talking about with Colorado State. First time they played, San Diego State 175-60. That's that San Diego State team that you saw getting just destroyed by UNC last night. Beat the Colorado State team that Memphis is going to be playing Friday by 15 points.
Mm-hmm.
The next time they met, they met Colorado State, won by five.
Yeah, the Colorado State talking point is we aren't that team anymore.
Yeah, and so the question is, did they legitimately get better, or did they just start playing Mountain West teams?
They just started playing Mountain West teams. Because also, when you look at that win streak to, like, close the year, like, they have wins over, like, their best win, I think, is, like, Boise. But it's, like, just beating other Mountain West teams. And some of the bad ones, like Fresno's in there. Arizona State's in there.
Yeah.
And they have a great score.
Yeah, they got Neat Clifford, who's really good and will likely be, whatever, will likely be, like, he transferred from Colorado. We were going to play a clip of Colorado coach talking about it. I'll skip it. We got too much we got to do. So, I think Colorado State is capable of beating Memphis. I think Memphis is capable of beating Colorado State. But if I were wagering on it, I would take Memphis. Yesterday, we did hear from Penny Hardaway and on Tyrese Hunter and Dante Harris. Did not sound hopeful. I guess is the best way to characterize it. About Tyrese Hunter was more hopeful about Dante Harris. I'm starting to think neither one's going to play. That's what I'm starting to think, that neither one is going to play. But obviously, we shall see. There's no way to know at this point. We have, as I said before, we started with Craig Unger. We got John Martin coming next. Then we got Chris Harrington after that. I have to step out. I'm trying to get going. I leave for Seattle today, so I'm trying to get going. I'm going to let Jeffrey handle Chris Harrington, then I'll be back to talk to Sam Hardiman. We have a very busy show. The Grizzlies are playing tonight, Jeffrey, against Portland. No Ja. Santi and Scottie Pippen Jr., both questionable. We've talked about must wins before.
I mean, I'm clearly on the record. They've had six games that fall into the must-win category. They won the first one. This is number two.
You believe this to be a must-win?
Yes. Their path to their best finish is handling the teams they should handle.
I think that's right because, I mean, just here we are. Let's consult our handy-dandy standings.
Yep.
Once again, you got Oklahoma City way up there. You got...
How's the weather?
Here's the other thing. Like, get Golden State wins last night, right? Beats Milwaukee. Golden State beats Milwaukee last night. The Clippers, who the Grizzlies are about to face, finally healthy, totally healthy. Well, the coach isn't, but the players are. Beat Cleveland. I don't know if you saw Cleveland against Memphis the other day, Jeffrey. Did not go well.
Looked pretty good, right?
So you are right now in fifth place, tied for fifth, technically, but not really. The Lakers percentage points ahead of you in fifth. And you're three games ahead of Golden State for sixth. Now, I think three games when you have 13 to play is pretty good cushion. That's a pretty good cushion.
Yep.
But you look at you look at what Golden State has been doing lately. And again, they win again last night. They're 8-2 in their last 10.
Yes.
So if they're 8-2 in their last 10, let's say they go 8-2 in their next 10. Do they have 13 left? Let's say they have 13 left. So they got 8-2 in their next 10.
They have 13 left, Jeff.
So they got 8-2. Let's say they go 10-3.
Okay.
10-3. I don't know who's the tiebreaker. Do you know who's the tiebreaker? Or is that yet to be determined?
Well, so that would be yet to be determined.
Yet to be determined.
Yep.
So that means the Grizzlies, to stay ahead, have to go 7-6.
Correct.
Not impossible to do, of course. You should be able to go 7-6 if you're the Grizzlies, an aspiring playoff team, right? You should be able to go 7-6. But you start losing, you lose to Sacramento and Portland consecutively, and you look at who's coming up. You got the Clippers coming up. You got Oklahoma City coming up. You got Golden State coming up. You got the Lakers coming up. You got the Celtics coming up. Boom, there's gone right there. I just gave you five potential losses.
Yeah, I would also argue
they can win some of them. Ja can come back,
and the Warriors could also.
Yes, you know that's true. The Warriors may not go 10-3.
Like you're asking them that they're going to close out the season on an 80% clip.
I'm just telling you that they have been.
Correct, but they've also said that they're going to start focusing on getting rest for guys.
Yeah, no, and I don't think it really matters. Let's be honest. I don't think 5-6. Like, I don't think all of that matters that much anyway. Who the hell knows?
Well, I mean, you can make an argument if you drop to 6. If it's between 5 and 6, you can make the argument that that's how you would avoid. That's how you would at least avoid Oklahoma City.
Yeah, I don't. It feels. Here's the truth. We've gotten to these moments where things feel a little bit, not just precarious, but a little grim, right?
Yeah,
I think right now, if you ask,
fives are bad.
I think maybe it's just me because I always think my team's going to lose. I think most Memphis teams right now believe they're looking at a first round exit.
Yeah, but I also
because of the way they've been because they haven't beaten a good team of 500 teams since February 2nd.
I also think though. I think in the back of everyone's mind, even though the Standard wasn't championship contender at the beginning of the year, the way that the year started, everyone started going like, this is it. Like, this is it. Look, it's wide open. Oklahoma City, yeah, they're good, but you know they haven't done anything either. So, like, there's a chance here. And then I think everyone kind of forgot, like, a large reason of their start was the schedule kind of worked out for them the first half of the season. Now that allowed them to build a cushion.
Here's the other thing: is even in the midst of it, what we were thinking was, man, they're doing this and they're not even full strength yet. Wait till they get Marcus Smart back. Wait till they get Vince back. Wait till they get Gigi back. They're hanging on playing this weak schedule, right? And they're going to get healthy and they're going to get the reinforcements, and then they'll be able to contend. We sort of built into the assumptions that you were going to get last year's Vince back, last year's or an improved version of Gigi back, that you were going to get Marcus Smart healthy, you were going to whatever. Now all of a sudden you're just reaching for anyone to throw in the breach like it's totally different. You don't have last year's Vince Williams back. Gigi's in the G League. Jake LaRavia's in Sacramento, like, and Marcus Smart's in Washington. Like it's
well, I think though the bigger issue,
the reinforcements never came.
That's all true, but like I was also someone that was like, let's pump the brakes on a lot of the. I just put zero stock into last season. Like it was nice to see some guys have good moments because you.
Yes, but did you have zero stock in Vince?
I mean, when he got hurt, because he has a guy that has not played a healthy season, so I did have some concerns there. I was never the biggest. Gigi's going to be the greatest player in the history of the NBA.
I think we can all agree.
But the bigger issue to me is that they don't even have, how many games have they had these guys available? Ja, Jaren, Dez,
I know.
Santi, Luke, and
now Ja out again tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, and Portland, you know, there's certain bad teams that have been tanking. Portland is not one of them. We got Edie Klingon tonight.
There you go.
So that'll be fun. Late night. We'll talk to more about that with Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Again, we got John Martin next, then Chris Harrington, then Sam Hardiman. I will remind you that baseball is coming. We just heard from Craig Unger. And that is a reminder that spring is springing. Spring is springing. Spring is sprunging. Spring is, listen, it's time to get to Oak Hall.
Spring
That's
is in
point.
The process of
That's my
of
point.
Springing.
We got opening day in baseball, Jeffrey. We had the Japan series
yes,
going on.
Yes, of course.
We got the Dodgers rolling, right? They won again today.
So happy for them.
So so we got baseball emerging. We got spring break happening. We've got pools opening. We've got all of that. It is time to get to Oak Hall to freshen up your spring wardrobe. And I'm telling you, there's nothing quite like Oak Hall. I have learned that from experience. I went to a wedding Saturday, put on my sport coat from Oak Hall. One of my son Ben's friends said, Mr. Calkins, that's a sharp-looking sport coat. And it is. Makes me feel better about myself. It's a gorgeous, honestly gorgeous sport coat. But the same thing's true of their swimwear. And basically, and the store is loaded. Shorts, shirts, beautiful stuff for your spring and summer. Claire's telling me I got to get back in there, and I have to get back in there as well. But no better time than right now to go see our friends at Oak Hall. John Martin on the other side. It is Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
From 11 to 2, although, let's be honest, we're going to be scrambling a little bit this week because I'm going to be in Seattle, so Drew Hill's going to be helping out with this show, and John is headed to Las Vegas, of all places. John, how many times in the last, like, couple years have you been to Vegas? It seems like it's a fairly regular thing, you heading to Vegas.
Yeah, I go probably, like, twice a year.
So, do you stay at the same place every time? What's your Vegas experience?
Well, usually what ends up happening is I go out from my comps basically, and I like to take advantage of those because it's just free, right? So, sometimes that'll be at like Planet Hollywood, sometimes that'll be at Caesars. This week I'll be at Aria.
The way it works, by the way, you get comps because of the amount you bet, right? Because they like
right,
you. Right,
correct.
But here's the question. Because you tell me that you fundamentally win, right?
Mm-hmm.
You fundamentally, not all the time, but you are a plus better, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Why do they give you comps? Why do they want to encourage you? Like what?
Well, think about it. It's they're getting you on the property, right? So they're getting you on the property, and you're going to spend money on the property. You could theoretically gamble on the property, you could lose on the property.
Right.
So, it's not really much of a, it's not much of a,
they're really just trying to get you on the property. Yeah.
Yeah. They get you on the property and they know you're going to spend money. So, I don't think they
so
really,
when you're there, where do you hang out? Do you eat sumptuous meals too? Do you get comped meals?
Not really. No, I don't, I'm not really a big foodie like that. I mean, it is a great place for you. If you are like, you would love Vegas. Like if you,
right.
Because you love food, so you would definitely have a ball out there. But no, I usually just hang out. Like, I have some friends that I went to high school with that live out there. I have some people that I've met on the internet that I like to meet up with. When I go out there, so I typically just kind of lay pretty low for the most part.
But lay low at a hangout at the at a giant sports bar, basically, where you can wager?
Yeah, sports book, yeah, for sure, yep.
That's what you do.
Yep.
All right, well, and you're so anyway, you're headed there today. I appreciate you jumping on with us before you go. So what'd you think last night? Tony Madlock, friend of your show, obviously, friend of Memphis. And I did just love, we played it earlier, in the post-game interview, he immediately goes Memphis. Like, it's funny. Like, he's, I don't know if he knows this, but he's not the coach in Memphis. He's the coach, in Alabama. And he's going Memphis, stand up. I thought it was just a great night for the city.
It was. I didn't hear that. That's funny. Was it a slip? I didn't hear it.
You're kind of breaking up here a little bit, John.
It was with Rothstein at the post game, like right at the buzzer.
Yeah, yeah. He was finished the interview and he just interjected, "Memphis, stand up!" at the end, like it was just.
Was it a slip? You know, or did he mean?
No.
Okay. He was really shouting out Memphis.
I think
he had Amar Knox with him.
Yeah,
and they had made Memphis kind of a part of the narrative of the game. Not they being Alabama State, the broadcast had.
Yeah, that's all. He's just saying a couple of guys from Memphis are carrying Alabama State. Basically, it was this great.
I mean, that's exactly what's happening. I mean, because that program is nothing but Memphis. You know, you got obviously Tony as the head coach. You know, one of his assistants is Mardrakus Wade, who grew up in Memphis and went to Mitchell High School and played at Arkansas. You know, you got two guys on the team that played, high school basketball in Memphis. One of them was, committed to Memphis. So that was definitely like, there's a lot of Memphis running through that Alabama State team. So it's like a proxy Memphis basketball team in a way. So, you know, I totally understand, why Tony would do that.
At the post game news conference, he then said, "A lot of Memphis up here at this table. It's the best city in the world, so it feels so good to represent." And Amar Knox said, "I feel like Memphis is the best city in the world. We have to show out and represent our city the best way we can." So there was a lot of Memphis, and that was
I'm sure Alabama State fans were like, "Hey man, what the hell?" I think they know that Tony is. I mean, Tony is Memphis born, Memphis bred. So I think they understand.
Memphis, 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 Memphis. John, I have come to the fundamental conclusion, and I hope I'm wrong, but my conclusion is that neither Tyrese Hunter nor Dante Harris will play Friday. What say you?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, neither do I.
I did notice.
In fairness. Yes, go ahead. What? You did notice what?
I did notice that the number has come down from 2.5, 3 to now 2, which would seem to suggest that the market may believe that one of those gentlemen would be playing. I don't think Tyrese Hunter is playing. I don't think that.
It's funny. We had a guy yesterday on Twitter who I didn't bring this up yesterday. He told me, I saw Tyrese Hunter at Chipotle, and he was walking without a limp. Look, no boot, no limp. It was the miracle Chipotle cure. The problem is that we saw him at the Penny Presser, and he was definitely limping. And he was coming out of treatment, and he was definitely limping. And Penny said, slim chance, and talked a lot about praying. So I'm quite confident that he's not.
Well, you sent me that, and you're like, "What do you think of this?" And I was like, "Man, get the hell out of here with that! Don't even bring that to me." Like
the Chipotle.
Like we said, all people in boots look alike.
It's like when people see coaching, they think they see a potential coaching candidate at the airport, right? It's sort of like that. Ah, I saw Bruce Pearl at the airport.
The message was like. I'm not sure it's him because he has a distinct appearance. Not enough, clearly. Not enough of a distinct appearance because you thought that was Tyrese. Anyway, are you
going to wager on it? Are you going to wager on it? Have you already wagered on it?
It's always the dilemma, right? It's always the dilemma with me because it's do I want to potentially double my disappointment?
Right.
You know, I really definitely try. I've done a good job this year of not betting Memphis games for the most part, like. Just because, again, I'm so invested in them being good, right? I'm so invested in them being successful that, I really don't want to lose twice. So So I don't know that I will. So get back to me. I haven't yet, though.
If you were to wager on it, as a totally dispassionate, if you could try to place yourself in the position of a dispassionate observer, where would you go with this?
I would definitely bet Memphis. I bet Memphis money. And for a couple of reasons. One reason is, I don't know if you guys saw what the Mountain West did last night in the NCAA tournament.
We have pointed this out. UNC absolutely disemboweled San Diego State. And by the way, you know what San Diego State and Colorado State did during their two matchups? They split. And one right. time, that San Diego State team that you saw getting eviscerated last night beat Colorado State 75-60.
Right. So I think that's probably why you saw that number come down maybe a little bit. It's people like, whoa, here it comes, here comes again. It's going to look good against each other, and then they're going to get again. They're going to get into the tournament, real teams, and they're going to crap the bed. And so I think that's a big, that's a fourth place team. That's a fourth place team against an ACC team that everybody said did not even belong. And they got housed from the beginning. They were down 30 at one point. So I think that's one reason I bet on Memphis, because I think the Mountain West is a fade. Secondly, it's like, at what point do we just stop with the cuteness, right? At what point do we just sit here and say, Memphis has a freaking All-American, dude. Memphis has an All-American guard. I know it's not a first team, but it is a second team. And Colorado State does not have an All-American.
Nate Clifford is going to be is a better NBA draft prospect than PJ Hegarty.
That's fine. That's not what we're talking about, though. Like, that's NBA prospects.
He averaged 25 points a game in the tournament, in their tournament. He's pretty good.
Mountain West. I'm not saying Nate Clifford's a bad player. All I'm saying is, and that would be the argument. That would be the argument. Like, they basically have more in Nick Cleaver. And that's fair. But I just think, Memphis has an All-American P.G. Hegarty. They have, in my heart, the player of the year in Dane Danger. With the way that, those two are playing right now, I mean, I think this is a matchup that Dane would eat in. It's not a Big Ten front line. It's not an SEC front line. It's a Mountain West front line. I think Dane has a hell of a day, so I would bet Memphis in this one, especially at plus money when we know Penny Hardaway is elite as an underdog.
How big? It's because we lowered the bar for Penny this year and made just make the tournament. I think most people felt that way. Just make the tournament this year. We've sort of lost big picture, Sweet 16s. Like, we used to be the measure of success at Memphis was, second weekend. That was it. Like, get to a second weekend. But for Josh, what was his big disappointment? He never got to a second weekend, right? How big an opportunity is this for them to do that, to get to a second weekend? It's right there for them.
It is. It absolutely is. I think the implications are absolutely massive. For like just so much momentum is on the line here. You've already had a successful season based on where we were in September. So that's already baked in. But, I mean, you can really, really, really take this to the next level if you make a Sweet 16 because, all right, the residuals from that look like this. You have more engagement in NIL, right? Because people are like, this Memphis basketball program is back, baby. Let's go, let's make sure we keep it rolling. So you got NIL. So you can maybe keep PJ Hegarty, maybe keep Dane Danger. Two, season ticket sales. You and I have had this conversation quite a bit over the years. It's a lagging indicator, right? So if you have a great year in the year prior, you go to a Sweet 16, you should notice that in the next season of attendance. And so I think you have that on the line as well. So I think those two things specifically, and obviously for Penny, just that his national reputation. But I think the two biggest things that they can gain is engagement. I guess it's all kind of the same thing. It's like engagement is on the line with Memphis basketball. They can really get it back if they do this, if they go on a run.
You think there is – it's interesting to me because I'm – you think there – if they – let's say they win game one and lose game two. That's one scenario. Mm-hmm. the second scenario is they win both and they go to the Sweet 16 and then they lose. Okay. You think in terms of actual impact on the program, in terms of NIL, in terms of their ability to keep players, in terms of excitement over the team and potential ticket sales, you think there's a real palpable difference there in terms of the momentum they will create with that, with two wins this week?
Yeah, I mean, because they won a game before the tournament. They beat Boise State in 21-22, you know, and then they lost, obviously, a gut-punching game to Gonzaga. But it really, you know, and you get Kenny Davis in the offseason, but it didn't really feel like attendance was great that year. I think attendance was just okay. You know, and the reality is that Memphis has, as a program, they have lost an entire generation of fans. Because of their lack of success, their lack of tournament success. They haven't been to a Sweet 16 in 16 years. So there's a 16-year-old walking around Memphis right now that has never seen Memphis Tiger basketball in the Sweet 16. I mean, that's insane to me to consider. I mean, when I was growing up, when I was 16, Memphis basketball was in the freaking Final Four. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just crazy how far it's unfortunately fallen since that peak. But the casual fan, and you know this, the casual fan – won't start really thinking about it until the Sweet 16. And, you know, I mean, that's the alliteration. Like, I use my wife as an example. She always asks me, is Memphis going to the Sweet 16? It might as well be the final day in four. Right? It might as well be the same thing. So I just think, yes, there is a palpable difference between winning one game in the tournament and winning two and getting to that next weekend, yes.
A couple of things, then I'll let you go. One is I heard you yesterday already apologizing for your bracket. Have you published a bracket, John? Now you said you were embarrassed because you got all ones. Do you have all ones? You have all ones in the Final Four?
I do. Yes.
All right. So give us one.
Not much analysis needed there, huh?
No,
good God,
they're good. They're good. Give us one upset that you have on your bracket.
It's not a big one, but I got Arkansas over Kansas. 10-7. Arkansas is a 4.5 underdog.
It's pretty modest. Modest.
I mean, look, these ones are so strong. These twos are so strong. You know, I think I don't really start thinking about an upset. I mean, could Grand Canyon beat Maryland? Like, I guess maybe, but man, Maryland's bigs are so damn good.
Here's what was weird to me yesterday. We did this thing at the Daily Memphian. We did a live chat for subscribers, and so y'all should subscribe to the Daily Memphian. And yet another reason to subscribe to the Memphian. But Parth was on it, and you were on it, and I was on it. And Parth has this theory that Memphis is going to have a really hard time with Maryland, so Grand Canyon has got to beat Maryland. And I guess my point is if he thinks Grand Canyon can beat Maryland, why the hell can't Memphis beat Maryland? Like, he feels like he really needs Grand Canyon to get out there and do the Tigers' work in that game.
Yeah. I mean, Maryland, the reason why he likes Maryland so much is because they do have, I think, analytically the best starting five in America. But that's the problem is they have literally no other players. So, you know, if any one of them gets in foul trouble or whatever the case may be. And I think the Big Ten as a league is not great this year. I'm just really not impressed with it. You know, Michigan has kind of been all over the place. Illinois has been up and down. I just don't really think it's been that great of a conference this year. But I also don't think Kevin Willard is this great coach. I think Kevin Willard is a completely average basketball coach. You know, I don't think he strikes a fear into anybody. So I'll take my shot. I'll take my shot with Maryland. You know, they're young. You know, the Derrick Queen is a great player. He's going to go to the NBA and he's probably going to have a successful career, but he's a freshman, you know. And I'll take my chances with Musa and Dane against that front court.
What did you think of Darren DeVries to Indiana? West Virginia doesn't make the tournament, and then they lose their head coach after a single season. Poor Ren Baker to Indiana. Yeah. What do you think about that for Indiana?
Well, I think it's a lesson to everybody. We talked about this Indiana job when it opened. You know, and they had big dreams, man. Of course they did. They had big dreams. They said, we're going to go get Bruce Pearl. We're going to go get Scott Drew. We're going to go get TJ Otzelberger. We're going to go get all these different – we're going to call Brad Stevens. And then you end up hiring the West Virginia coach, you know. So I think it's a cautionary tale, you know, that it's very hard to hire good basketball coaches from, you know, their stops, you know, unless they are trying to get out because of, you know, an athletic director disagreement or whatever the case. It's going to be tough, you know. I mean, Indiana is supposed to be an amazing job. You have all the resources. His NIL is going to be like $7 to $8 million. So the idea that people didn't want that job, I think, says a lot. Like, if the fan base is – I think the fan base perception is that it's not fair, it's not fun, and there's too much pressure that comes with it. So, you know, obviously a guy like Darren DeVries is going to do it because, like, why wouldn't he do it?
Right.
He would have never answered for the Indiana job 2 years ago. So he can take a big pay raise. He can take a shot in the Big Ten. He can bring his son. But, you know, they struck out in their top five, top six. And I think that's the lesson in college basketball, that all jobs aren't as good as they seem.
John, thanks very much. Appreciate it, man.
All right, brother.
Yep. That's John Martin headed to Las Vegas. Jeffrey, this is a point that you have that you've made before. People think it's true in football coaches. It seems invariably true. There's the rare moment when you're Alabama and you think you can get Nick Saban, and then you do get Nick Saban. Like, the timing is exactly when you're Memphis and you think you can get John Calipari,
yep,
and you do. But generally people are settling for a guy five or six notches below what,
yeah,
they think they can get for.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're Tucker DeVries, it's like, I think what this also demonstrates is, okay, yeah, 1 year at West Virginia, and people are like, well, job hopper. It's like, no. Trying to get to the Big Ten is an end game. It's,
yes,
like getting,
yeah,
to a Big,
right,
Ten or an SEC job is the end game.
I mean, obviously, it's a little awkward. You're there for,
sure,
1 year. Darren DeVries, Tucker's the kid, right?
Yep.
Yeah. He's bound there for there as well, I'm certain. All right. We're going to take a break. We got Chris Harrington on the other side. We got Sam Hardiman on the other side. If you're selling your house, though, let me remind you that Josh Heisa would be the person to call, 901-461-8147. It's Josh and his team at Keller Williams Realty. More than 300 five-star Google reviews. So that's not just me telling you that Josh is the person to call. That's just people who have used him. And it's because as soon as you meet with him, you'll understand. Flexible fees, no upfront cost. He'll give you a marketing plan, honestly, that is going to blow you away. And if for any reason you're unhappy, let you out of your contract at any time, risk-free. Plus, got this whole instant cash offer deal. And this isn't the one whereby, you know, you're getting some stranger calling you from hundreds and hundreds of miles away trying to give you half price for your house. No, Josh wants to give you full market value for your house and up to 4 months to get everything packed and move. It's Josh Heisa and the team at Keller Williams Realty, 901-461-8147, or joshhasthebuyers.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.